Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Joan, a new play about Joan Rivers is having its regional premiere at the Barrington Stage Company's Boyd Quinson Stage in downtown Pittsfield, Massachusetts. With Joan's daughter, Melissa Rivers, as executive producer, the play brings us behind the curtain with this queen of stand-up comedy. Playwright Daniel Goldstein imagines the legendary comic reliving her life story in perhaps the only way possible, with laughs from beginning to end. The audience discovers the pioneer who conquered a man's world, the mother of all punchlines, and the woman who had it all, lost it all, and did it all. It's a no-holds-barred look at the life of a true legend. The play is directed at Barrington Stage by David Ivers, and it is a great pleasure to welcome the actor playing Joan Rivers, Tessa Auberginois. Tessa, thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
You having a good time doing this?
Oh, we're having a great time. Yes, we the cast really loves each other, and of course, being able to work with Joan's incredible material is just such a pleasure, and the audiences have been great. So, yeah, we're really happy to be here.
As I mentioned, a regional premiere. So you've been doing this in other places. Give us a sense of how this came to you initially.
Well, we have done it before in Costa Mesa, Orange County, at the South Coast Repertory Theater, which is a regional theater that commissions a lot of new plays. And the artistic director, David Ivers, had this script pass over his desk. He didn't know the playwright, Danny. And David thought that it would be a good project for that theater. So we just did a table read. They got some actors together and we sat down and read the play. And I was shocked when I got the call, you know, saying, hey, could you come in and read Joan Rivers? I was like, I can't even imagine, you know, doing that. But I was able to find her voice, and we all really liked the play. And it was the first time that it had been heard out loud. Melissa Rivers commissioned it, so she set out to find someone to write a play about her mother, and she hired Danny, and then they partnered with South Coast Repertory. And we did a full production there after about 3 years of workshopping the play. So we did that in the fall, and then we workshopped it some more, and we brought it here. And we're, you know, it still might be a work in progress. It's been really a pleasure to be able to develop a new work and see how it's landing with audiences and things like that. Yeah.
Was there a connection between Danny and the Rivers family of him knowing her, Joan Rivers, or the family, and being the obvious choice for such a work?
No, but Danny, it had not been, but he does get along with Melissa really well. And he did grow up in Larchmont, New York, which is where Joan's family moved when she was a teenager. And so there was that connection, and he's Jewish, and he, you know, loves Mel Brooks and loves Joan Rivers' humor, and so he was able to bring all that sensibility to the writing. So the scenes that he wrote are also, you know, very funny, in addition to the stand-up and the jokes that came from Joan's catalog. And Joan's one of Joan's joke writers, Larry Amorose, also collaborated with Danny on some of the script. So we have a lot of that material, but Danny worked really well with Larry and with Melissa.
You mentioned a moment ago about finding that voice. What goes into that? What was that like? I mean, obviously this is someone who is larger than life. So many people know her. I assume you grew up with her as I did, and you know what that sounds like. So what is it like to then try to embody that?
Well, I've studied her a lot, and Melissa was very clear to me right off the bat. She said she just is not, it's not your typical New York accent. You know, it's not like a, she said she's very educated. And that helped me find, instead of just a kind of stereotypical, you know, New York accent like that, I really listened to Joan, and she's very forward. I'm not, now I'm sounding British. Joan, I have to do the rasp with it, but she's very forward in her accent. It's not, you know, your typical New York. But so she has a more educated sound, and I studied her, and I studied the way that she delivers her jokes and the timing. And so I play her from 75 years old all the way back to when she was like in her mid-30s. And another wonderful actress plays her, Eleanor Gunn plays her younger and also plays Melissa. It's very theatrical. We're switching around a lot. Yeah. We're constantly going from scene to scene and character to character. And I also play Joan's mother. And then there are two men in the show with us who are wonderful, Andrew Borba and Zachary Prince, and they play multiple roles, Johnny Carson, Jimmy Fallon, Joan's husband, Edgar, Joan's father. So I have studied Joan at different phases in her life as well. So I try to kind of modulate my voice based on what age I am in the scene. And also, and then there are moments where I have to allow my own personal truth to come through because I'm the actress playing Joan and everybody knows I'm not actually Joan Rivers, you know?
Right.
So I do think that I have some license to, in the more emotionally vulnerable moments, especially, it's like, it's just me, the actress there holding that moment in Joan's life, and I can best express it by, you know, just allowing myself to be a little bit more of the human being that's on stage at that moment.
So correct me if I am wrong here, but it would seem to me that you were talking about finding the voice, but you mentioned timing, and there's the material, but to get that timing down, there was nobody better at that than Joan Rivers.
Yeah, so, you know, I try. We cross our fingers and we hope.
but it is, and not, I mean, you I assume, are more aware of this than just about anyone on earth, but it's the difference between the joke landing and not.
Yes, yes. I have been working for 3 decades, and I've done a lot of comedy on stage,
yeah.
And so... you know, some of what I do in the play is her actual stand-up is taken from videos that we can see. And so I have studied those and studied how she does it. And I have found that, like my first stand-up, the first stand-up routine I do in the show, which opens the show, is from late in her life. I think she was actually like 80 when she did it. And she does it much faster than I do it, but it's our opener and I have to get the audience on board. And
right.
When I go as fast as she goes, I find the audience to be very disoriented. So I have had to slow it down. It's also quite blue humor, as you can imagine. I mean, she just kept pushing boundaries. And so,
right.
You know, even today, it's sort of shocking. And so you can sort of feel the audience like, oh, this is what we're in for. So I have to slow it down. And then and then there's other places where I do her stand-up routines that I've seen. And I do it at the pace that she does it. And I really try to emulate her timing. And then in the scene work, you know, I have to rely on my own comic chops and feel, you know, everybody surfs that wave with a different audience. The timing will change depending on how you're sensing the audience laughing. There's a couple really guaranteed laughs in the show, but for the most part, every show is different and you just have to feel it. You know, you feel it in the room. It's like a little bit of a dance. And I'm sure, you know, for stand-up comedians, it's the same way.
Right. She felt that every night. I remember seeing her very in the 70s and then much later in one of her last performances. And you're right. I mean, it was not only was the material got bluer, right? I mean, it evolved, but also there was a frenetic pace there toward the end as she just couldn't wait to get it all in, it seemed.
That's an interesting take on it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she was so quick too. Her mind, even as she was older, her mind was so fast.
Yeah.
And you watch her interviews, you know, you watch her on Johnny Carson when she was the guest host, she was the permanent guest host, and her own talk shows, and her wit was so fast. And yeah, I agree with you. I think her mind was just firing on all cylinders up until the end.
This is one of my favorite Joan Rivers moments. As I was in the audience of the White Show with David Letterman, and she promoting a book, and she had just walked off a television appearance on CNN because she felt as if she were being insulted by the anchor. And so in a joke, as they were talking about different things, and she made a June Allison joke on Letterman, and then Letterman gets up and just leaves her and sits on the stage. Now, I don't know whether that was planned or not. I have no idea. I was told it wasn't, but I don't know that for a fact. What I do know for a fact is that it was just her. She had no idea, and she took that audience and she took that show over in a split second, and it was amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a master. Absolutely a master. Oh, I'd love to see that.
It's really fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a moment last night where in a good spot, somebody's phone rang in the audience and Melissa, Eleanor, who plays Melissa, had just said, "We live in a digital world, Mom." That was her line. And then a phone rang and she gestured towards the phone. And I turned to the person and I said, "You want to get that?" And we were able to,
salvage
put it on
the moment.
Phone.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We were able to incorporate that. If it had been somewhere else in the play, we wouldn't have been able to break in that way, but we were able to do that. And I just take courage from Joan, you know, and we have a lot of direct address to the audience in the show in certain places. And so we're able to play around that way as well, which is fun. And I do take license. I think in another play, I wouldn't do something like that. It would probably be insulting to an audience to do something like that. But with this, it was so much in the spirit of Joan. But you mentioned her books, and the play is very funny, but we also touch into the real tragedy in her life, and she had a lot of loss.
She
and
sure
so I believe, and I hope, and I know from people who have seen it, and when I initially read it, it is also very moving. And her books were a wonderful source. Her autobiographical writing were a wonderful source for me to really understand all the context of what was happening around those tragic moments in her life. And also just to listen to her voice, because I listened to recorded versions of her autobiographical writing.
Tessa Aubergenois is our guest, and she stars as Joan Rivers in the new play, Joan. A new play about Joan Rivers, now on stage at the Barrington Stage Company. I will tell you, Tessa, when I saw it released that you were coming and the show was coming to Barrington Stage, and I saw your name, the first question I had is, oh, I wonder if she's any relation to Renée Auberjonois, who is one of my favorite character actors of all time. That was your dad. He, of course, is known for Benson and Deep Space Nine. He played Father Mulcahy in the original MASH, the Robert Altman version. And my God, so is it a point where you, like, you come by this honestly, right? There's no way you can't when you have someone like that, I would think, as your dad.
I do, yes. We are. My brother is also an actor.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, we do come by it honestly. We grew up around it. We went to the Benson tapings every Friday night when we were growing up, and so I think that also helps with the comic timing. But yes, I thank you. I appreciate that. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor, and I got to run lines with him, and you know, watch his work the entire time I was growing up, and we performed. I performed as a dancer when I was younger, but I was just always around theater and television, and yeah, it was not a surprise that I continued on to do that as well.
I read somewhere and that there were lessons that you learned from him, and I'm curious as to what they were, of things that you learned directly from him about being an actress, being on stage, being in the business.
Two things come to mind when you ask me that question. One thing he used to say that I love is he used to say, you don't have to be real as an actor, but you have to be truthful.
Mm.
Meaning, it doesn't have to be completely natural. When you watch actors perform, whether on screen, wonderful actors on screen, or on stage, you're watching human beings in heightened circumstances, and your performance can be more heightened than naturalistic reality might be. But if you are telling the truth of the moment, if you are committed to what is happening truthfully as an actor and as a character, then an audience will suspend their disbelief of the behavior and go along with you, if that makes sense. So I always loved that.
Yes.
As a kind of maxim as an actor, because you can be artificial and it won't land. But if it's based in the emotional truth of what's happening for a character, even if you're very over the top, you know, not really lifelike, if it's based in an emotional truth, it will hopefully be, you know, really what you're looking for. And he used to say to me after performances, he would say, you told the truth, you told the truth. And it's the same with comedy. You know, we say comedy is serious business. It's like, find the truth in it, and then it will be funny because we relate to it. And then the other thing he used to say when I was first starting out and had some decisions to make about certain, you know, whether I should take this job or that job, or whether I wanted to do a job that I had been offered, he used to say, I have three criteria. Does it make artistic sense for me to do it? Does it make personal sense for me to do it? And does it make financial sense for me to do this job? And he would say, if it checks two of the categories, then I probably will do it. But if it only checks one, then I'm not going to do it. And that was always a really good, those are good guideposts.
Oh, sure.
For me as an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would assume little bon mots that helped in this performance alone of getting up there and doing this. It seems like it's perfectly translatable.
I mean, we are excavating in rehearsal. We're excavating the text all the time as actors for, you know, yes, we say these lines, but why are we saying them? What are we reacting to? What's causing us to speak these lines? And a lot of this play is can be a bit expositional, you know, this happened, and you're talking to the audience and saying, but we have to know why we're telling this story. So, and even in the scene work, you know, what is really going on underneath the lines on the page? That's our job as actors, is to bring life to, we bring the life. So yeah, the idea of tell the truth, find the truth in it is always a really good, sorry, I'm not coming up with the word. I want to say guidepost again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, a marker. I mean, certainly a way to do it.
A roadmap.
There you go. Roadmap. Tessa Auberjonois, it's a great pleasure to speak with you. You're starring in Joan, a new play about Joan Rivers, where you play Joan Rivers. It is having its regional premiere at the Barrington Stage Company's Boyd Quinson Stage in downtown Pittsfield, Massachusetts, through August 17th. So there still is time to see this incredible show. BarringtonStageCo.org, BarringtonStageCo.org. Tessa, it's been an absolute delight to share with you this morning. I thank you so much for being with us. And
thank you so much for having me on. And I do hope people come see the show. It really is it's a good time. And it's also a really great story.
Look forward to
it.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thank you very much. Tessa Auberjonois, starring in Joan, a new play about Joan Rivers at the Boyd Quinson Stage on the campus of the Barrington Stage Company. BarringtonStageCo.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.